This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Good morning, how are you?
Doing really well. Now, on the other side of that tragedy, you've chosen to look with a very hopeful perspective toward the future. And in 1997, you started the Alana and Madeline Foundation. What does the foundation do?
Well, it's set up to help kids who have suffered from violence or loss of family. So, I mean, after Port Arthur, I had that feeling was really strong of wanting to do something to remember, you know, Alana and Madeline and their spirit, and the idea of setting up a foundation that would help kids really appealed, and I think was a good healing factor for me. So what we do is all kinds of children's programs. We have got a Buddy Bear program, which runs in most schools around Australia, which is like where an older child looks after a younger kid, and there's a whole curriculum around that. That's also run by Princess Mary. She's our international patron in Denmark and all the Danish territories. And then we've got programs like eSmart, where kids and also their parents get educated in cyber safety. There's actually like a digital license which every grade six child in Australia can go through the program and get.
I could not imagine the experience that you had, but that moment, man, when you lose your wife and your two children, how did you find that? I mean, obviously, you say through the foundation you found some healing there, but how did you find the hope to get up and keep on going after that event, man?
I have to say, there didn't seem to be much reason to get up or do anything for quite a long time, but I suppose the one thing that was my family, really. They all flew down to Tasmania at the time. They were there. We spent a week before flying back to Melbourne for the funeral. And it wasn't just my mum and dad. It was my brothers. It was my cousins, my uncle. It was a pretty incredible show of support. And I suppose it was just a case of trying to get through each day and make the best of it, and with the hope that, you know, tomorrow's going to maybe be a bit better, and it may be a month down the track or in years down the track that you can get back to some semblance of life that's meaningful.
And in the midst of it as well, you wrote a letter to former Prime Minister John Howard, and you were talking about the Australian debate over gun control. That was one of the conversations that your letter landed in. Now, do you still feel like that is a conversation that needs to be had?
It's definitely the conversation that needs to be reignited and I think for people to be made aware, because as Australians, we should be incredibly proud of that legislation. You know, we have moved from a place where we'd had nine mass killings in 10 years, I think, to in that time since, we've had zero. So we can be incredibly proud that we acted in that way as a country and in response to Port Arthur. But, you know, the side effect of that is that people do become complacent. And because we don't have those killings at schools, people are feeling safe, there isn't that dire need for people to want to visit it. And, you know, it's not necessarily a comfortable place as well when we talk about, you know, that sort of event. So, but I mean, I think the result last year with the Adler gun, where it's licensed now for people for specific reasons, was the correct decision. You know, there's no need for that sort of weapon to be a general weapon that gun owners can have. So, fancy, you know, that big, huge tick that saw common sense prevail.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, and the thing is, as soon as those weapons, if they happen to become available, you know, then on the internet there's websites with where they've constructed, you know, magazines that will shoot 8 or 10 or 20 rounds. So it provides a whole new industry if it becomes available.
Walter, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.